All right. Well, you'll have to bear with me today. I do have a cold that I'm recovering from, so that just means you have to sing louder. So, you know, if it's hard for you to hear me sing, then if you sing louder, then you won't hear me sing, and then it'll just sound that much better in here. So let's pray, and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. Lord, we thank you that what we're doing is just joining in with all of creation, what is already happening throughout the world and throughout the universe. Lord, that your praises are being proclaimed. We thank you, Lord, that even if we all were to be silent and no one here on earth worshiped you, God, even the rocks themselves would cry out to you because you're worthy, Lord. And so, God, we thank you that you invite us in to worshiping you, and we pray that you will be welcomed in this place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Sing, let your breath come from heaven. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. See, to you our hearts are open. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Let our shout be your anthem. Your renown fill the skies. We are here for you. We are here for you. So let your word move in power. Let your word move in power. Let what's dead come to life. We are here for you. We are here for you. Since you, our hearts are open. To you, our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy. Let your fire fall down. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Let it fall down. Yeah. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Oh, we welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you. So we're going to go back into that chorus again and sing, "We Welcome You with Praise." Let's just all be encouraged, because in the end, we know that God has ushered us into his throne room, that we are no longer separated by a veil, but God longs for us to worship him. And there's no other place that we can be to actually be satisfied than the place of worship. So let's sing God's praises here. Yeah, we welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Let every heart adore, let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Oh, we welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you.
I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see his love and mercy washing over all our sins. The people sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I see a near revival stirring as we pray. Thank you.
We thank you and we praise you, Lord, that we do have the hope of your return. Lord, that you will soon be with us. Lord, that you will soon bring your people into full and satisfying communion with you, Lord. But God, we thank you that even right now, Lord, those promises are being opened up to us, Lord. God, that we know that the resurrection is true, that we know that you rule and reign at the right hand of the Father. And that right now, Lord, our sins are washed away and we are free to worship you. God, we thank you for all that you've done for us. It's in Jesus' name.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. The final breath he gave, heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love cannot be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
Lord, we praise you, God. Our hope is in the resurrection, and our hope is in you, Lord, that lasts for eternity. And so, God, in light of that, we long to draw near to you, and we just ask, God, that you will use this time, Lord. As Pastor Rich teaches, I pray that you will strengthen him, that you will empower him, Lord, that your words will be his words. And I pray, God, that you will speak freely through him to our hearts, Lord, as we open your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody here this morning. And if you are here, if you came to the Easter services this past weekend, we're really overjoyed that you guys have chose to come back here today. So thank you for coming out. And without further ado, I got quite a few announcements, so I want to get into those. So announcements, volunteers needed, always. And we're actually going to see a lot of that coming in with some of the other announcements that I have here this morning. So I'll get into those here in a minute. But one of the things we are always looking for is volunteers to clean the church. There's a sign-up sheet at the desk, the welcome desk, as you come in. So please, I finally made up like 3 months' worth. So you can sign up for whatever day is good for you, whatever week is good for you, and just circle on there what day you'd like to come in. And if nothing else, I can attest to it. Everybody's heard of CrossFit and everything now. That seems to be the new rave. Well, for me, this past time I did the church, that was CrossFit enough for me. I think I did like 1,000 lunges with the vacuum cleaner as I was going through here. So if nothing else, it gives you a good workout. Youth ministry, the second and fourth Sunday of the month at 5 p.m., grades 6 through 12, so make sure everybody is aware of that and everybody's coming out for that. Men of Calvary breakfast, the second and fourth Saturday of the month, which is coming up this next Saturday. And just a little bit of a tag along with that, it is from 7:30 to 9:30, but we are going to be looking for volunteers for some guys to stay after that, for that, somewhere around 68 folks, 6 to 8. It sounded like I said 68 folks. 6 to 8 folks, just to stay over to do a little bit of some work that needs to be done here around the church grounds. So if you're able to do that, that's great. Or maybe you don't want to get that early to go to the men's breakfast, but you wouldn't mind helping out. That would be great as well. So please, if you have time to do that this next Saturday, please do so. Community fun night, May 25th, is going to be from 5 to 8:30 p.m. There's going to be food, a bounce house, nine square, other games that will be there for the kids and stuff like that. It's just our opportunity to be able to build with the community. So it's an opportunity for the community to come out and just all to get together and have some good fellowship. The other thing that we would like to do that's not in there is a chili cook-off at that same time. So what we're looking for is at least six folks that would volunteer to make chili for that chili cook-off. Pastor Rich just told me that there will actually be, that he actually is going to line up judges as well. So we'll have judges the whole nine yards. We just need six folks that would be willing to make that chili. And if you are willing to do that, or if that's what you would like to do, Missy, I won't make you get up, but if you just raise your hand, if you'll get with Missy in the back there, just give her your name to let them know that you want to do the chili cook-off, that would be great. VBS is coming up as well. Now, what I want to particularly point out about this is in the Ellicott handout, there's a VBS, and it says Game On. Well, if you look in the main one, there's one in there as well. The reason for that is because both campuses are having their own VBS, okay? So it's not a mistake. We didn't, get the times wrong or anything like that. It's just that the one that's in the main bulletin is for the main campus, and then the one on the handout is for us out here. And it's, you see on there, it's going to be July 23rd through Wednesday the 25th, 9 to 11 a.m., children K through 6. And again, we talk about volunteers. We will be needing volunteers for that. So for the setup, for teardown, we'll need volunteers for teachers and stuff like that. So if you're interested in that, please, by all means, let us know. You have a little while. It's not till July. It's at the end of July. So anybody who might be interested in that, please let us know as well. Don, if you'll raise your hand. Don, I was told today, is going to be doing our Spanish ministry. So, and that's going to start on May 3rd. So if anybody may be interested to do that, please come out for that as well. And then today, for those of us who have signed up for Living by the Book, that actually starts today, okay? So if you signed up for that class, if you've got the book, today's the first day of that. And we'll meet back here after church services at 12, and it'll be from 12 to 2, okay? Thank you guys for coming out, and enjoy the service.
Thanks, Scott. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I just want to share with everybody, on Good Friday, Scott had his first opportunity to teach from up here. And I remember that day well myself, to actually teach in front of a church congregation, and my heart was in my throat, my butterflies in my stomach, and it was pounding about 118 beats a minute, and I just remember that. But he did such a great job for his first time out, and soon he'll have an opportunity to do it on Sunday morning as well, and so I'm just looking forward to that. Though probably the first time I won't be here, I'll probably be at the Central Campus teaching the first time he's here. But after that, I will be here. So looking forward to just a great time. Concerning the chili cook-off, now if we get 10 people sign up for chili, that's okay. Yeah, I plan on making a couple of gallons. I like to use habaneros with mine, and so I like to make guys or gals perspire a little bit when they eat mine. If you like to make a sweet chili, that's all right too. It'll be a fun time and a great time together. I invite everybody to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. I'd just like to remind everybody that we love teaching verse by verse through God's Word. We are partway through the book of Ephesians. We are going to get to the point to where Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit, is going to stop writing completely to the church and start writing to in certain relationships. The very next relationship is marriage. The one after that is parenting. The one after that is work. So it's different kinds of relationships. And I always like to look at this and say that if we don't get chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 through verse 22, we're going to struggle in the relationship area. It's just not going to happen. And if we look at what we're looking at today, we will also see that the reality is that if God's Spirit doesn't have free rein in our lives, we are going to really have difficulty. And so this portion, this little paragraph that we're going to look at today, is really a culmination of everything that has been written up to this point. Paul uses a ton of participles, and I know I hated English when I was in school, but he often does that, and he will hear for us to reveal to us that you and I need to be filled in the Spirit. That is what we are called to do. Imagine this bottle is empty for a second. I was going to empty it all, but I've already drunk enough today. Drank enough. Poof, I told you I didn't like English. Imagine it's empty, all right? What's it filled with after that? Air. Simple as that, air. And the question is, how would I get all the air out? I just ask you to ponder that for a second, or until near the end of the service, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. You know, we know that we're born with what we call a sin nature. And how, in the wonders of salvation, does the new nature wonderfully and gloriously take over in our lives? How does that become a reality for us? I'm convinced that today we will find out the answer to that, and it's an answer many of us know. It's an answer that we probably, if we're honest, all struggle with from time to time in our life, in our walk with our great God. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you again for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. We ask that you would just so gloriously, wonderfully allow your Spirit to have free rein here in a profound way, that you would encourage us through your word, that your word would change us from the inside out. Lord, that we would see the magnitude of your greatness and the wonder of your grace, love, and mercy. So we just ask your hand of blessing on each of our hearts today. Lord, you know where our hearts are. You know the needs of every single one. And so I ask that you would just be pleased to meet those needs this day through the wonders of your word, that sharp two-edged sword that divides, gives us clarity, and the power of your Spirit that illuminates and reveals and helps us understand more about you. We just ask your hand a blessing on this time, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to be starting with verse 15. Because being filled with the Spirit is just the wonders of what God has done. The very moment that you, if you have trusted Christ as Savior, you were given, I was given, the Spirit of God to indwell us. And we've already learned from Ephesians chapter 1 a couple of things. One is that he seals us until the day of redemption, the day of glory, the wonders of the rapture, if it should happen, or to be able to fulfill the thought of to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for the believer. And it is all through the power of the Holy Spirit that it becomes a reality. And so we have the indwelling, and so the filling is something that happens in our lives to where we want to walk filled all the time, not grieving, as we've already seen in Scripture, the Spirit of God in our lives, or quenching the Spirit of God in our lives. Grieving means that we break his heart, literally, because we choose rebellion. Now, quenching is the fact that we get a seared conscience and we just walk away from following God obediently in our lives. Both allows us not to be filled, And then disruption and chaos happens in our walk and in our lives. And so today we're going to look at the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God yearns to help us with our daily life. And in this passage, in this short little paragraph, it kind of breaks down into two areas. The very first area will be our walk, our daily walk, that daily walk. So let's look at verse 15. Notice what it says. See then that you walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise. You know, walking vigilantly is what I like to say, you know, the first thought of our walk. Do we walk vigilantly? In other words, do we strive to be spiritually discerning? Do we strive to allow the Spirit of God in our lives to really reveal to us those things that please God and those things that God would be dishonored with in our lives? I can honestly say this. Every day of our life, we will have a choice of whether we're going to honor God or not. In order to be able to honor God in our walk and the filling of the Spirit is for you and I to walk vigilantly. James tells us that Satan is a roaring lion. Do we really believe that? Do we really, really take that seriously, or do we get just enough comfortable in the fact that we are saved that we don't see the reality of that? And he is a roaring lion that seeks to devour, you know, that which is walking away from God. You know, Jesus even told the disciples in John 10:10 that the thief comes in the night to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, that's a picture of Satan. He doesn't want you and I to bring glory to God. So we have to walk vigilantly. God would want us to have that circumspection of where the old thought of the wristband with WWJD on it. Anybody remember those wristbands? Yeah. Yeah. What would Jesus do? You know? And would it bring honor to glory? Glory and honor to our great God. Walking vigilantly, being wise within it. He goes on to say in verse 16, this wonderful truth, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, wanting to have a walk that's really valuable in God's hands. Not only walking vigilantly, but where it has real value, to where you and I become a wonderful seed sowers in life. You know the parable of the sower, you know, and casting out the seed and wanting to spread the seed and wanting the seed to be revealed first in us as well as through us so that people clearly see God in all of his glory and hear the wonder of what he is doing. And so our walk is always valuable in God's sight. Always valuable in God's sight. I had trusted Christ as Savior, and I was struggling in my walk. I'll be honest, Diane doesn't like me sharing this part of my life, but I'm going to today. And I'm not proud of it. I gave up. I became defeated in church. The churches that I went to, two of them had splits and arguments and dissension and all of those kinds of things. And at one point after a meeting and because of the things that went on, I just simply said, if this is the way Christians act, I don't want to be associated with them. Now, I had very little Bible knowledge at that time. I was still a newborn babe. And in my selfishness, I reverted back to old lifestyles. And one of them was I enjoyed playing ball. Whether it was fast pitch, slow pitch, it didn't matter. As long as it entailed a ball and a bat, I was playing. And oddly enough, I could play on enough teams to where for 3 years, I actually played in over 130 games a year. People wanted me on their team. So, testimony. Let's think about that for a second. My walk. I'm a Christian, but I'm over here playing ball and doing some of the things that go along with that, the bars afterwards and things like that, and never going to church. Because on the weekend, I'm playing in tournaments where you earn money for playing, and we develop good teams, and so we were always winning money. And so that was, yay, you know, the fun part. Now, do they go hand in hand? They really don't. Now, could I have played ball and still had a great walk with God? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I carried it to an extreme to where I didn't have time for family, I didn't have time for church. Bottom line, I didn't have time for God. I worked third shift, so I'd go play ball in the evenings when I could have family time and then run to work, get off in the morning, catch a little sleep, go play ball again. Sometimes I would play ball and one town early on because they had a game where I could play, hop in the car, drive 16, 20 miles to another place, play for another team the same night. That's how crazy life was. Our walk. I certainly wasn't redeeming the time, and I'm not proud of that at all. And I'm glad I got to a place, or God put me in a place where he broke me. And with God's correction in my life at that moment, I want you all to know this truth. I never want anybody else to experience what I had to walk through to be able to become awake, alive, intentional, and committed. The chastening hand of the Lord is very real. It's very real. And I don't want any of you to experience that. I want you to celebrate who God is. You know that John 10:10 says, I have come, you know, after the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And I've got them out of order. I know that. But Christ says, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. I don't know about you, but I like that thought. And you and I, we can only have that if our walk truly is circumspect or careful or vigilant, earnestly guarding our heart so that we have the peace of God in our lives. Let's think about that for a minute. Turn ahead in your Bibles, just one little book. In my Bible, it's just a couple of pages to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now, Paul has already shared that Yodia and Syntyche were having a struggle getting along together, and he urges in verse 3 for Syragusus to come along, or true yoke fellow to come along and encourage them along with Clement. Then he adds this in verse 4. Notice what he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Now, that is supposed to be an ever ongoing verb in our lives to where we celebrate our relationship with God. You know, it's a never ending verb. It's continuous action. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So in verse 4, you have celebrate. Verse 6, you have ask. You know you are in life. Don't be anxious or worrisome about things, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And notice what happens. Verse 7, and let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Ah, what a promise. I don't know about you, but I enjoy the peace of God. I love walking with God and knowing I'm at peace and I'm walking with Him and He's guarding my heart and my mind in life so that our walk is vigilant. My walk is vigilant. I am spiritually discerning, making those decisions that glorify God. But notice how it goes on. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, what are we supposed to do? Oh, you can do better than that. What are we supposed to do? Meditate on these things. All of these things. What should occupy our heart and mind? Not the anxious worries of life, the circumstances of life, but truly think about the good things and the wonderful things. I've shared with you before, you know, when Diane got sick, at first it was woe is me, and then I began praising God for all that God had given us in our life, and there's grace and mercy and the wonder that He has had, and those good things to celebrate again. Verse 9 goes on to say, and the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace of God will be with you. Ah, I don't know about you, but we're right back to that thought, the peace of God. We have that by walking vigilantly and wanting to have a valuable life. Now, I'm not standing here and saying that's always easy. Don't misunderstand me. That's where the body of Christ comes in, where we can have people that we can go to and pray with over different circumstances, where we can have people that we trust that will come alongside and encourage and comfort during our time. Those of you who have been around for a while, you know that we have a couple of couples up here every single week. I usually stay up here as well. If you just have a heavy heart and you want to pray about something, come on down, as the game show host would say, and celebrate the fact that we are together in this journey of Christianity and share our hearts with one another, the wonders of what we have, our walk. Secondly, what we have in this beautiful little passage is God's will. We know that we have this thought today that God's will is somehow mysterious. J.I. Packer says in one of his books that when we start thinking about the will of God and the filling of the Spirit, that we've kind of jumped off the edge a little bit, and we want these peculiar, different, exciting relationships occasionally rather than a consistent, beautiful, wonderful, constant celebration and walk and fellowship with the Spirit daily. I agree with him. And if you and I learn how to have that walk and that celebration daily, then the will of God becomes far clearer in your life and my life, to where it doesn't become mystical anymore. It just becomes we're living life. God opens doors where He wants the rich Baileys, you know, to walk through for His glory, and as well as you. Now, some of them are kind of scary, I'll have to admit. When I went to school, there was no way I was going to be a pastor. Why? Because I experienced ugly. And so I said, no, I'm not going to put myself in that position. And so I wanted to do anything and everything else. Sophomore year, freshman year, I was asked to do a devotion. Now, I'm still rather biblically illiterate. And I go, sure, on what? And my boss goes, my prof goes, hey, how about doing John 3:16? I said, really? These are missionary kids, pastor kids. They are Christian school kids, everything else. I'm 35 years old. What can I possibly tell them about John 3:16? I said, thanks. So pray hard I did. Shared my heart with these students. And he came up and he put his arm around me and he says, you have just heard a shepherd's heart. And I knew what that meant. And that scared the socks off me. I said, no way. And I left the room. It scared me. But guess what? Guess where I am today? And I'm convinced it's God's calling in my life. There's no doubt in my mind that along the line, he equipped me and he called me to be a pastor. And that was God's will. And so as we look at these final verses, let us see that these are all God's will for us. He goes on, verse 17, he says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of our Lord is. There's only one way we can do that, and that is to walk circumspectly. The only way we can do that is to plunge into God's word, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how challenging it is. It is to put ourselves in the position to where we are teachable and can be taught God's word. That's why Calvary churches love verse-by-verse teaching. Get the whole picture of the whole letter, understanding what God's trying to communicate to a church, an individual, or a group of people, and celebrate it. That's why we have Bibles back on the back table by Cecile so that we can give them out, and they're there free for the taking. Take it home if you don't have one and enjoy God's word. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. I was biblically illiterate in my 30s. I want you to know it was all Greek to me, and I hadn't taken Greek yet. And when I took Greek, it became even more Greek. But God's Spirit, because I was willing to be teachable, began doing a work in my life and heart, and he can do the same in yours. That's why I love the thought that we're going to do Living by the Book here, and there's 10 to 15 of you have already signed up, and you're going to have fun learning more about this great book and how to study it and how to apply it and how to utilize it. He gives 9 beautiful questions for you to ponder every time you open up God's word and read through it. Should I? Is there? You're beginning to apply and understand it. God's will. You know, we have to plunge into it. We have to take the busyness of life and be intentional enough to where we talk to and commune with the God that we say we love and the God that we know that loves us. How many of you have been or are married? Please. All right. Communication, communication, communication. Challenge, challenge, challenge. It is there, is it not? We've been married 47 years, and there's still days that Diane just doesn't get me. There are days I don't get myself, but no, it's just truth. And I'll look at her and go, whoa, what have you done with my wife? Where is she? Where did that come from? And so it takes communication. And it's a two-way street. One of us just can't do all the yapping and think the other one's going to get it. The other person has to respond, maybe even ask questions. What are you trying to say? It's just flying over my head right now. Well, it's the same with God. If we don't talk to him and listen to him, it isn't going to happen. And we listen to God through prayer, quiet time, as well as his word. It takes communication. If you and I want to know God's will for our lives, that is walking in wisdom, the way God would want us to, understanding the will of God. Then verse 18 goes on to this, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but the key thought for this passage, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to give a little warning right here. Back in the Northeast, a professor actually wrote a paper and then followed it up with a book to where he says that is not referring to the Spirit of God. And I want you to know that is wrong. This is talking about the Spirit of God and you and I being filled with the Spirit of God. Every Sunday as I come up here, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to be, in a sense, anointed with the Word of God so that it is communicated in an understanding way. That's one question that I always ask people after a service. Did it make sense? Was it clear of what God's trying to do? And so you and I, again, we can't be grieving the Spirit. We can't be quenching the Spirit. We have to be intentional. We have to be committed to God's Word. We have to be thinking about, is the bottle filled with hot air or is it filled with something of value, the reality of the truth of our holy God, who graciously gave us this beautiful love letter so that we could get to know Him better. I read this in one of my commentaries. He said, a Spirit-filled person has a submissive and respectful spirit. A Spirit-filled person does not have the spirit of criticism, dissension, envy, divisiveness, and selfishness. He has the spirit of yielding to all that God is, which is the very last thought of the passage that we're going to look at. So, God's will is that we walk wisely, that we walk being filled with His Spirit and the power of His Spirit in our lives. Not being distracted with, you know, and the drunk with wine can be filled with lots of other things. Lust, any other kind of drug. Something that takes over to where my thinking is removed from focusing and meditating on God. It can be my own anger. That which takes control rather than the Spirit of God. That's the fullness and the richness of that verse for you and I. Notice how it goes on. In verse 19, he has three beautiful participles because it is talking about the wonders of relationships even before we get to verse 22. And the three participles are speaking, singing, and making melody. Notice what it says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That thought of sharing and communicating about and having fellowship about biblical things. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't talk about the weather every now and then. That doesn't mean that we don't talk about our jobs every now and then. That is not what that's saying, or school or Bible study that we're in. It's talking about that you and I speak to one another in a God-honoring way so that it becomes edifying or encouraging. Speaking to one another. It's three different kinds, three different words. That's why it's followed with the singing, the worship. First is just communication. How do we communicate? And secondly, how do we worship? He goes on to say that thought of singing. We just did. Yeah, and the wonders of it. You know, and I love singing. I'm glad you don't sit in front of me. But I love singing. I love worshiping God in that way and declaring these truths and wonderful truths. one of our churches that we were in, we began introducing new songs and things like that, and it was a church that was pretty much bound to a hymnal. Now, I love hymns and things like that, but I believe that there are new songs that are written that really glorify God, and we began introducing them. And somebody came into my office and said, "Pastor, we got to stop singing these frivolous songs." And I go, "Oh, I don't want to sing a frivolous song. You know, share with me." He goes, "Well, it's just frivolous." And I said, "No, I want you to be specific. Please share with me which one you're talking about. If you're talking about one, please. Just give me the name of the song." And he named it. And I go, "Oh." And I opened up God's word, went to the psalm where it quotes three verses out of the psalm that we are singing. And I said, "You know, if we're singing God's word, I would struggle to call it frivolous." You know, the importance of worship. That's why it's songs, hymns, and spiritual psalms. You know, spiritual songs and the wonder of that, which ends up making melody in our heart. I don't know about you, but I can start whistle while I work. I can enjoy it. You'll find a little boombox in there. And so on the days I'm here, I'm listening to songs while I'm studying, you know. Yes, I can multitask, just so you know, every now and then. But I love worshiping while I'm studying. What a greater way to interact with God. And every now and then, the song catches my attention, and I start singing. And I'm glad you're not there. But I'm singing along with Mercy Me or Casting Crowns or One of the Wows or, you know, one of the wonderful things that we have on CD that Diane always buys for me to make sure I have a good flood of Christian music. You know, worship. You know, after the first song, I heard a couple of little, you know, if you are worshiping God and you want to applaud, it's okay. It's okay. At the end of a song, as long as you're applauding to God, that song was great. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, you're just celebrating and worshiping. It's okay. You know, the joy that we can have in the midst of it and everything that he has. And then the last thought, making melody in our heart to the Lord, to me, that's all about attitude. Attitude, attitude. So it's communicating, participle number one, speaking. It is worship, attitude number two, singing. And third, it is just plain attitude, making melody in our hearts to the Lord and celebrating who he is in our life. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I actually use this verse Friday in a wedding ceremony that I had. You know, as I shared with them, you know, you have to learn in everything give thanks. You know, you're going to face rough days, tough days, difficult circumstances as you walk along in marriage. I don't want to be too hard, too tough, but guess what? Giving thanks to God in all things is the will of God. That's what God calls us to. And if I can learn to trust him that much, even in the most difficult of times, then I can learn how to celebrate him honestly in the best of times rather than taking him for granted in our lives and how we walk. And so get right back to our walk of how we walk in life. And so are we truly thankful for all the things that God has given us? Last but not least, and with every premarital and every marital counseling that I have done over the last 20 years, this is one of my first verses that we go to, submitting to one another in fear of God. Now, this is written to the church. But if we don't know how to yield to the Word of God and the Spirit of God in our lives in honor of God, my relationship with my wife is going to hurt. My relationship with my children is going to hurt. My relationship with my grandchildren is going to hurt. My relationships with my bosses. And yes, I have numerous bosses at Rocky Mountain Calvary. believe it or not. Well, I know the main one is God. Yeah, He is Lord over this place and this work, and I know that. But yet, practically speaking, you know, and I pick on Cecile. She's one of my bosses because she does all the arranging for the weddings and funerals for me. And, you know, and so, all right, bring it on. What do you have? You know, and she gives me the instructions of where to be and when and even what to wear. You know, I have a funeral today, and I'm to wear a suit. It's not to be a casual one. I, shucks. But, okay, I'm going to do it. Submitting to one another in fear of God, that takes people that are committed to worship and committed to edifying others. The bottle. What's the best way to get the air out of it? I know my kids, they get a water bottle and they would put their mouth at the end after it's all done and go just to make the sound. Yeah. I like to personally crush them just to make the sound. And not only that, it takes up less space in the recycling. But what's the best way to take out? Fill it with something else. You know, sometimes we get so concentrating on repenting of our sins, and we should do that. don't think we should ever neglect that. But being filled with the Spirit chases out the gunk. Once you and I commit ourselves to walking with God, it takes out the gunk. A.W. Tozer, in looking at this passage, he says, you know, sometimes we struggle with what that looks like, being filled with the Spirit. And he says, I want you to think about it this way. You have a nice glowing embered fire, you know, whether you're a blacksmith or a smithy or something like that, and you take this cold, hard piece of steel and shove it in there. What's going to happen to that piece of steel? What do you think, Nick? What's going to happen with it? Huh? Well, it's going to get hot. And how will you know it's getting hot? Pardon? It'll start getting red hot. It actually takes on the fire. You know, to me, that's a great illustration. You know, you and I are filled with the power of God, the Spirit of Christ. You know, once we trusted Christ as Savior, you know, without Christ, we're going to live futilely. With Christ, we have everything, every means available to walk godly. He has given us everything that we need in this life. And the question is whether we're going to voluntarily enter into that and accept it and enjoy it. His word is not burdensome. I'm living proof. I love it now. Sometimes I come across stuff that, ouch, I got to change, don't I, Lord? And I want to change from the inside out. God's still working on me. That's a good thing. Where are you? Where are you in your walk with God? Where are you in figuring out the will of God? You know, I went to school and I worked full time, and I was married with four kids, and as well as went full time at school. I did not go part time. So I would leave the house about 7 in the morning and get back home about 1 o'clock the following morning. So it was a challenge, I want you to know. And kids would come up to me and say, I don't know how you do it. And I'd look at them, I go, oh, I don't know how you do it. You're trying to figure out relationships. Is she the gal for me? Is he the guy for me? You know, you're trying to figure out how to do all of this other stuff, as well as the fun stuff, going bowling, going out for pizza, begging mom and dad for more money to do such things. You know, do I loan my car to somebody else? Many of you are working part-time as well. Hey, your priority schedule is a lot tougher than mine. Mine was laid in concrete. I knew exactly what I had to do. Where's your priority list? Where does God fit? All of us want to say first. If it's first, then we'd be filled with the Spirit. We would be living wisely. We would be redeeming the time. we would be speaking to one another in hymns, psalms, spiritual songs. We would be worshiping God. We would have a melody in our heart and a glow and a joy on our face and lives. Sometimes the difficult times will take that away for a moment, and I understand that. But yet, we will still have joy in the Lord. And I want us here to be that light, that beacon of light that radiates the genuine joy of the Lord. It starts with salvation. As the worship team comes, let's stand and close our time in prayer. And if you have a prayer request today, or if you would like to trust Christ as Savior, I invite you to come up. We will have folks up here to pray with you. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the wonder of your love and your grace and mercy. Thank you for your Spirit. Oh, let that become our identity. Might it become so real in our lives that people see and they want to know the reason of our hope. They want to know why there's hope at all. Oh, Father, we know that we're surrounded by people who have no hope. Oh, Father, I pray that you would just massage this truth deep into our hearts and lives, and that we would be wonderful, willing vessels to be filled to overflowing by your word, your Spirit, making a difference. Oh, Father, if there's somebody here I hear that's hurting in a painful relationship or something, Lord, I just pray you'd just reveal to them wonderfully that you love them. There's somebody here today who would say, I haven't trusted Christ as Savior yet. Lord, might today be that day of salvation. Whatever the need might be, Lord, I pray you'd give the strength to come and receive prayer, to be encouraged for your glory and your glory alone. And we pray all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Your
The altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. The altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Yeah. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. precious blood of Jesus Christ, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Alleluia, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Sing what, oh what a Savior. What a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Sing, bow down before. Precious blood of Jesus Christ, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
God, we thank You and we praise You, Lord. God, that as we believe in You, Lord, as we trust in You, Lord, God, that You do give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. And Lord, may that guard our hearts and our minds, Lord, as we in faith walk in the commands that You've given us, in faith walk in Your will and what You've called us to. We love You, Jesus. We praise You. It's in Your name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.